The Las Vegas high school football season starts this weekend. One game Thursday, 23 games on Friday night. And to help us break down the season preview, from the Las Vegas Sun, Ray Brewer. Ray, welcome back to the show.
Hey, I appreciate you having me, man. It's been too long, Tim.
So let's break this down. We were just speaking off air. We're both locals. We both went to school on the east side of town back in the 90s. We both went to UNLV. I went to El Dorado. You went to Shap. So you've been on my show. This is year number 10, if you can believe that.
Really? Oh, my.
How many years have you been covering athletics or prep athletics here in the city?
So my first year of preps was fall of 97. So this would be my 22nd or 23rd year.
See, that's why you're in the Hall of Fame, man, right there.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
And which I want to give you guys. So you went in individually, but now you're going in as a group, correct?
Yeah, so that's pretty neat that the Clark County coaches who, let's be honest, they're kind of our audience, right? So they decided to put Case and I on our Prep Sports Now podcast into their Hall of Fame. And it's pretty cool because they've got a banner at Sam Boyd Stadium, and the banner's going to go over to the new Raider Stadium. So there's a lot of pride when I'm able to show my family that when we go to a game or whatever.
No, that's awesome, man. Let's start with how we start every season. Let's talk about Bishop Gorman, 10-time defending state champion, going for number 11. What do we got this year? I know they're coming back. As always, Ray, they're loaded, plus they're loaded for the future.
Yeah, so Gorman this year, I think, is their second-best team in the Sanchez era, to both Tony and Kenny, which obviously would be this be year 11 now. And not only are they good with, you know, a quarterback that's going to Penn State or a wide receiver that's going to Washington, they've got some younger kids, especially on defense, who are going to make their debuts tomorrow, Friday night, who are sophomores who already have, like, SEC scholarship offers, like Auburn and Georgia. And Gorman is definitely stocked and reloaded. I know last year they opened the season with a 37-0 loss, and everybody kind of said, hey, there's blood in the water, Gorman's beatable. And from that day, they've just got better and better and better. You know, last year they had a rare situation where they had a lot of unproven players at the skilled positions. And that's, you know, that's a theme of every high school program in America, is when you got to hit the reset button and pull up kids from the JV, what's going to happen? And even at a team as Gorman's level, you saw last year that they struggled, but then you also saw them piece it together and have a pretty darn good season and win another state championship.
So they'll open Friday night for Tita Field, 7 o'clock against Orem, Utah, which was the 4A champions in Utah. They hit the road to Hawaii to take on St. Louis, perennial power, Servite, California, and then again another team from Utah. So out-of-conference schedule, once again, tough.
Yeah, and Gorman was kind of the first team here locally that embraced the traveling to other markets to play a good opponent. And what it's really done is it's changed the narrative for every team in town. There's 23 games tomorrow for 36 teams. So usually Team A would play Team B and there would be 17 or 18 games. Well, this week there's so many teams going and playing a California team or traveling out of state, you know, Liberty, Faith Lutheran, Green Valley, Legacy, Las Vegas High. It's made things fun. You know, you get to represent your state. There's a lot of support from the other teams around town rooting for you. And it's a formula that's worked for Gorman. You know, when Gorman started it, they weren't necessarily concerned with how good are they going to be in these games. They were more concerned with, could I get ready to win a state championship? Am I going to be good enough to win a state championship? And, you know, it's been a great formula along the way. They start knocking off teams from Texas and New Jersey and California and Arizona. And it's really been fun to see. And they're back at it again on Friday night.
Now, I know you said you said that you think this is the second best year that you've seen out of, under the Sanchez era.
Yeah, I really, really the quarterback, Micah Bowings, is a dual-threat kid. Last year passed for 33 touchdowns, nearly 3,000 yards, rushed for 1,000 yards and some more touchdowns. And he was a kid who took a lot of the blame when they struggled early, and he just got better and better and better. And when they played Liberty in the playoffs last year, a team that really thought they had a chance to beat him, he was just phenomenal. He took off on a third down play early in the game and rushed for like a 70-yard touchdown. And you're like, wow, I could see why, you know, this kid's the real deal, and Gorman's going to be just fine. And, you know, they got a wide receiver going to Washington, Rome Odusen. And, you know, I suck at the last name, so forgive me. Kid is fast. He's tall. Had like 1,300 yards receiving last year. And so he's the real deal, and they're really good. They've got a linebacker named Brian Surtain who is just a great, solid high school player. Doesn't have the big offers. He's more of like a Northern Arizona, Southern Utah guy, but he makes all the tackles. So just a lot of balance across the board for Gorman.
So if you're saying this is, in your opinion, the second best team they've had under the Sanchez era, where do you rank them with the 14, 15, 16 mythical national champions?
Well, the 16-year Tate Martell senior year, they were really good. I mean, generationally good. This was probably the best high school team I've ever seen. I mean, they had the National Player of the Year at quarterback. They had, you know, 91 kids, you know, kids going to Ohio State, all over, and they were just a really, really good, I mean, high school team. They went into Dallas and won on the road, which is like unheard of for a Nevada team. So for me, they're clear-cut number one, without question.
And just off topic, since you brought it up, I figured, I've been meaning to ask you this, but since it just popped in my head, quickly, your thoughts on Martell and his struggles to be a quarterback at the D1 level, because I'll take your opinion over most of these radio show hosts that think they know what they're talking about.
Well, I just don't think the kid has done himself many favors with, you know, being out there in the public eye. And he walks around and he appears cocky. And for us who know him, who got to cover him, he's really a sweet, sincere, well-thought-out, good-intentioned young man. And, you know, the nature of college sports is sometimes you're not the best player and you got to sit and wait your turn, and sometimes that turn doesn't come. And he hasn't gone to a place where he's found that perfect fit yet. And unfortunately, it shines a bad light on him. And, you know, I really hope it works out for him. I know that there's talk of maybe moving him to wide receiver or whatever the case may be, but the truth is the kid's probably going to be able to graduate this summer, and he could wind up at another school with 2 years eligibility left. And, you know, more power to him. He thinks he's a good college quarterback. I know people question his size at 5'11", but the kid could sling it, and he's a winner. I mean, he didn't lose a game at 3 years here in Vegas.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's how I feel. I've covered him for 4 years, Ray. I've talked to him many times. I never got that opinion of him. In fact, when I saw him out and about, he always said hi to me, and people that are generally cocky, they have that attitude 24/7. So I know you know the family as well, and it's real simple. He could be a starting quarterback in the Mountain West, no problem. He's better than that.
Yeah, he's an extremely talented quarterback. He throws a good ball. The thing is that when you're at these big programs, Ohio State, Miami, two legendary programs, you don't have time to get your feet going and to get acclimated. And here's a kid that redshirted and had to sit and wait, and he hasn't had the reps of a you know, first-string quarterback to get into the flow. And, you know, when you just don't have that activity, it's not good. And then, you know, he's on his third offensive coordinator in 3 years, which is also not good in your development. And it's a real shame, because – you know, the kid could be the starter at, you know, 100 of the 120 schools in the nation, and he just hasn't found that right fit.
You mentioned Bowen's Penn State commit. Obviously, I'm going to put Martell as the best Gorman quarterback. Is Bowen's coming at second, or does he fall back a little ways like Cunningham?
No, I think, well, for me, the best, I mean,
Solomon.
For me, I was a huge Anu Solomon fan.
Right.
He's a kid who started as a freshman for them and won four state championships. And it takes a lot of courage to go over to Gorman when you're not from there, and you know, to do what he did. So for me, it goes Martell, Solomon, Cunningham, and then Boeing's.
But if they can get through this four-game non-conference schedule unscathed, we could be talking about another national.
Yeah, and that's an interesting comment. I know a lot of people feel that way, but the schedule, when it's all said and done, Tim, might not be that strong. While they're playing three defending state champions, some of those teams are rebuilding, so their strength of schedule might not end up being great.
Well, let's look at some of the contenders for the Nevada State title. We'll have to bring up Liberty, as they're always in the mix. But when they went to the change, Ray, they ended up getting knocked out last year in the regional championship. But Liberty's always been a team that has kind of taken the Gorman roadmap and has used it to their advantage as well. And Rich Morocco has done a great job there.
Yeah, I mean, Gorman for me is the unquestioned second-best team in town. Liberty for me, unquestioned second-best team in town. They, too, have a ton of underclassmen who are superb players. They're ranked in the top 50, and they have the schedule that if they were able to go undefeated, would, you know, potentially win a national championship. Their schedule is just brutally impossible with, you know, St. John Bosco and traveling to Hawaii. And you've got to give Morocco and his team credit. They've set up a schedule where they're going to be ready when they play Gorman. This will be the most prepared they are. They've got a lot of great players, D1 kids. They've got a tight end who's got offers from Georgia and Auburn and Alabama and everybody. So Liberty's the real deal. They're going to be okay. The question is anybody going to beat Gorman? They have the best chance, and it's a long shot.
But Desert Pines, they won the state title at the 3A level in 2016-2017. Last year, move up, and they blow a double-digit lead in the playoffs to Arborview. Obviously, they're coming back strong, Ray, and I think they're your favorite in the Mountain region.
Yeah, I love Desert Pines. And what I really like about them is their new offensive coordinator, Craig Canfield. He was the offensive coordinator at Gorman once Tony went to UNLV. So Kenny called the defense and Craig called the offense. And he's a very, very, very good offensive coordinator. I think they're going to spread the ball out. They've got a ton of athletes there. If they could hold up on the line, they're going to be dangerous. And I think in a few years, they're going to keep getting kids over there. They've got like 12 kids with Division I offers. I think Desert Pines has got a chance in this current setup to really have a good season.
They have five-star tight end Darnell Washington. I know Nick Saban's looking at him, Ray, and that's a big boon for a school like that.
Yeah, I mean, anytime a Alabama comes into town, it's not only a victory for the kid that's getting recruited in the school, but it's a victory for the area because Alabama's not going to solely come here to talk to one kid. They're going to, you know, go look at everybody. And I think having Canfield at Desert Pines is huge for Darnell because they've struggled getting him the ball. Last year only had two touchdowns, 193 receiving yards. I mean, for being an Under Armour All-American, a five-star kid, you got to get that guy the ball, and now they've got a coordinator and a quarterback that could do that. So this kid could, you know, in 1 month equal the stats the last 2 years. And he is just, I mean, looks like he's 24 years old, Tim. 6'7", 240, 250, just nice-looking kid.
And their rival is going to be Arborview again. I think we'll get a rematch in the playoffs of these two. In fact, they might meet in the championship game for the Mountain Region. Veteran coach Matt Gerber back on the sidelines as the head man.
Yeah, Arborview is interesting. They graduated a three-year starter quarterback. They've got a new starting running back, a new head coach, even though Gerber's well-respected and he'll do a good job. Interesting, I think a lot of people are curious to see how Arborview will be. Defensively, they're very, very good. They've got five or six returning defenders, each who played significant roles last year. So the defense is going to be very strong.
What about Canyon Springs? Last year they won the league, and maybe a little chip on the shoulder as everybody seems to think Desert Pines is going to win that, the Northeast.
Yeah, Canyon Springs has got a good tailback in Junior Martin Blake. They've got a few nice pieces at the skill position. Same narrative, how will they hold up on the offensive line? And just a really, really tough league. You know, Desert Pines legacy. And if you get through that, then you got to play Faith Lutheran, Centennial, Arborview in the playoffs. So that's a tough road ahead.
Former powerhouse Centennial, kind of in a rebuild the last few years, starting to get on track.
Yeah, Dustin Forsey's done a good job over there. They've got a quarterback, Colton Tenney, a wide receiver, Jarek Robinson, and a ton of good players. I think they're ready to go. They took third last year in that league. They could spread the ball around. They're very well organized. Forsey does a great job. Centennial could be a team we're talking about here in November.
What about the schools that you always talk about this game? It's always a big feature. Green Valley Basic, what are we looking for those two?
Yeah, Green Valley returns its quarterback in Garrett Castro, wide receiver Noah Hawthorne, and virtually its entire defense. I think they're in position to be second behind Liberty in the Southeast. The game with Basic, last game of the year, it'll be a fun game as it always is.
And for us Eastsiders, what do we got? Shap, Vegas, El Dorado, anything?
I think they're pretty much all the same. Vegas probably slightly ahead. Wide receiver Miles Davis is the real deal. Deshaun Scroggins, their quarterback, is definitely ready, I think, to take the next step. But, you know, it's a sad year when three powerhouses that we grew up with, Vegas, Shap, and Eldo, they probably won't be making a postseason run this year.
And I don't want to leave out 3A. Can Moapa Valley bring the title home this year?
You know, the North is always a wild card. If you've got to go up North to play, it's a real tough challenge. I like Moapa Valley. They return a few linemen, a tailback. I hear Virgin Valley's good. I just can't get over the fact that they didn't make the playoffs last year and lost to Sunrise. And Boulder City is supposed to be good. So the 3A could be fun.
Ray, let everybody know where they can read your wonderful stuff. You guys do a great job over there.
Yeah, LasVegasSun.com, and we appreciate the plugs, man. Thank you so much for everything you do for me.
Now, Ray, I've heard around town that you're a Gorman Mark. I've heard that I'm a Gorman Mark. It's only fitting that we open up the season Friday night at Gorman.
Yeah, and I don't really care what people think of me because I'm getting paid tomorrow, and the check's not going to stay, isn't going to change. So go Gales. I could care less.
I'll come find you tomorrow night.
All right, man. Thanks, Tim.
Thanks, Ray.